Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 6th of August, recording at 9:27 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, we start with just a quick review of the week. In terms of stock markets, they have been really quite firm, quieter activity overall. That's partly seasonal, and it's partly that we've had some short-term technically overbought conditions. We had a little bit of selling in here today when the employment figures for the U.S. were more bearish than expected, but Wall Street pulled back from those lows to close with tiny losses. The Dow, for instance, was down 21. That was not 0.2 of a percent, but it had been down 160 points at one stage here today, pushing on closer to 1.7-1.8%. So that was recouped, but not before Europe had closed with some weakness. Long-dated government bond prices have been very strong in here this week, so yields have fallen lower. The U.S. dollar has been extremely weak, generally, and was down here again today. Precious metals, against that background, have been steadier. And this week, in gold, closed today at 1205. The wheat market, which has absolutely been on fire, it's more than doubled, but left a tail yesterday on the daily chart. In other words, it couldn't hold the gains, and today we saw quite a significant downward move. But the soybeans and corn were a little firmer on the day. Industrial metals have been strong, led by the tin market, which has really surged. And what else to mention? Crude oil, down a dollar today, but it's been firm overall, just below 81. And natural gas a little bit easier. I think those are the main highlights overall. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, in terms of global stock markets, one theme that we have seen since the May lows, at any rate, is some uncoupling. And so we have seen the ASEAN stock market group led by Indonesia from the 2008 bear market lows, but more recently it's been led by Thailand and the Philippines. But Indonesia is still really quite firm overall. China, which had been a negative leash effect, has been more positive over the last month, as a consensus is gradually forming that the efforts to slow the property market in China, to slow property market speculation, have been effective, and a belief that perhaps that will mean less pressure in the form of new secondary offerings, IPOs, from banks, as they are no longer under quite so much pressure to raise additional cash against likely bad loans from the property sector. So that's been an interesting picture. The commodity markets have been very firm, as I mentioned in the introduction, and not just over the last week. Now, that strength really started with the industrial commodities, and that, I think, is due somewhat to the U.S. dollar's weakness, but it certainly can't all be explained in currency terms. It just points out what the companies have been telling us, that the demand really does remain quite strong for industrial minerals. The oil price, again, has been firm, and I've maintained throughout that the BP accident back in April has caused the floor beneath crude oil prices to rise overall. Uranium was up again this week, another small gain, and that's interesting. Looks like uranium and uranium stocks are back in play. Overall, I think that the Western perspective, and particularly the Wall Street perspective on stock markets in recent weeks has been much too pessimistic. I've described it on a number of occasions, including today, as irrational pessimism. Now, it's not that there aren't plenty of problems. We know that for sure. But we also know that unemployment is a lagging indicator, that this is a good time for banks in terms of making money. Because they have the advantage of being able to recapitalize their balance sheets through government largesse, really allowing banks to borrow from the discount window very, very cheaply and place the money in the bond market on a leveraged basis. They are paying out in interest to depositors peanuts because short-term interest rates remain so low. But they're charging much more for loans. So really, these are halcyon days for banks overall, and that is further reducing the risk of another financial collapse anytime soon. So again, my feeling is that the outlook is not so grim as we hear from Wall Street, and we hear that mainly from the economists overall. Individual analysts are looking at the corporate profits, which have really been quite good despite slower economic growth. First and second quarter profits quite possibly will be down somewhat in the third and fourth quarter of the year, but they're still likely to be positive profits rather than far more profits than losses. And we're talking about Wall Street, whereas much of the rest of the world is looking better. Now, not all of Europe, that's for sure, but Germany is doing very well as the world's second largest exporter. And the German stock market, I mentioned earlier that it had hit a new high for the year, really looks very steady. And has some additional upside potential over the medium term, judging from that chart pattern. Overall, we're also in a situation where we have the slow growth OECD countries, commodity producers such as Australia and Canada excepted. They're much stronger. One of the reasons why they're much stronger is because the Asian economies are booming, and the Central and South American economies are doing quite well. And that's been the case for a number of years now, briefly punctuated by the recession that was quite severe in the West, and indeed many commentators are feeling that the risk of a double dip is quite high in the USA, parts of Europe. But overall, in terms of stock market activity, companies have increased their productivity. They're benefiting from this exceptionally low interest rate environment. They're benefiting, the ones that are international players are benefiting considerably from the much stronger growth that we're seeing from the progressing markets. I really refuse to call them emerging markets anymore, from the progressing markets around the world. And therefore, this is a long way from being a disastrous situation for investors. And last but not least, the valuations are reasonably attractive. So I'm quite positive overall. I think there are short-term uncertainties. This is a period of seasonal underperformance for stock markets. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw further sideways ranging. We've seen a lot of that already, of course, but we could see a bit more. But I think that the chances of a retest of the early July low, I think that risk is quite possibly diminishing, and I think it's sideways to higher here for most stock markets. Okay, and what about favorite sectors? Well, I think again, for money themes are doing extremely well in here overall, and there are a lot of interesting dividend situations. We've been commenting on a number of them in Comment of the Day, and we'll continue to do that. I'm certainly interested in the high yielders, and I know a number of other subscribers are. Well, what about the long-dated government bonds? Well, the quantitative easing, the recapitalizing banks through the yield curve, the fear of deflation is helping to keep these markets steady. I think they're very risky, but when I look at the charts, they pause and then they break upwards once again. They have higher reaction lows. I'm talking about bond futures. The yields, therefore, have lower rally highs, so the yields remain in these medium-term term downtrends. But this is dangerous territory, in my view, overall, because the yields from bunds to U.S. Treasuries to JGBs are historically exceptionally low, and I think that really they're priced for a very severe disinflationary, deflationary slough, and I'm not at all sure. I don't think we're going to actually see that. But again, those three factors that I just mentioned in reverse order: the fear of the deflation, and the recapitalization through the yield curve, with the plus the government's quantitative easing, can certainly prevent a reversal of the rallies that we've seen in the long-dated government bond markets for a little longer. But I couldn't sleep at night with those positions. I can sleep very easily with a high-quality international share with a decent yield. Okay, what about these commodity markets? Well, soft dollar lends support. The strength of the emerging progressing economies lends support. I think that's a positive, and they are a positive indicator for our stock markets as well, although the reality is that they're probably taking their cue more from stock markets than the other way around. But there are inevitably some risks here. Were the oil price to spike higher, it's not doing that at the moment. It's been a very gradual, steady, quiet rise. But were the crude oil price to spike back above $100, that would certainly represent a headwind for the global economy. But the immediate risk is of some commodity price inflation. Now, it's one thing to have sugar go up temporarily and then fall back as it did, although sugar has firmed in the last couple of months, as you'll be aware. It is one thing for the cocoa or coffee to be quite strong, and coffee had been one of the more in-form commodities in recent months. But it's quite another matter when we get surging grain and bean prices. Now, so far, those markets have been steady within basis, but wheat has been the runaway big gainer in here on the hot, dry weather in Russia in particular, but also the Ukraine, much of continental Europe, not really the UK. That crop apparently has been really quite good. The weather conditions, moisture conditions seem to be far from ideal in parts of China, where wheat is produced, and also in the US Corn Belt. So, if we were to see wheat consolidate and hold these levels, let alone if we were to see some catch-up plays due to either crop fears or speculation drive soybeans and corn up to similar levels with wheat. And then most important of all, for the huge Asian populations, if we were to see rice push upwards, and rice has been the laggard in here all along. Rice is not expensive at this stage. But if we were to see food price inflation, that would create havoc later on, either this year or next year. So that excuse me, that's probably the greatest risk to the global economy. There's always a risk. I don't feel that it's a serious risk at this stage, but I do feel that it has emerged as the greatest risk for the global economy, far more important than the housing market situation in the US or other countries, although that is certainly a problem for those countries. I think it's far more important than the unemployment figures that we have in Europe and the USA, although those are certainly major problems for those countries involved. Worldwide food price inflation would be much, much more serious. Again, I emphasize that is not a big problem here today. Bread prices will certainly reflect the wheat price increase. That's inevitable. That's got to be worth at least another 5 pence to 10 cents on the cost of a loaf of bread going forward. But it hasn't spread right across the board throughout the grain and bean complex. But the chart patterns suggest that we could see more price rises in the grain and bean complex in the months ahead. So that needs to be borne in mind, I feel. Now, is there anything else that needs to be commented on? Yes, the currencies here. The US dollar didn't prove to be a haven for very long. I think the US administration and the Fed would have been absolutely appalled to see the extent to which the dollar had been driven up to a number of different currencies. Well, that move is well and truly over, and the dollar is still searching for a reaction low in here. My feeling is that we're probably going to avoid a dollar rout, just as we avoided a euro rout. The euro had a big fall, but it had been overvalued as a favored reserve currency until the sovereign debt problems in southern Europe blew up. And so that brought the euro down. I said at the time that the ECB would regard that decline in the euro as heaven sent. It's been very positive for Europe's exporters, led by Germany, of course. And those gains have been pegged back a little bit, but not entirely. The Asian currencies are taking the brunt of the rises in here, but they can largely afford to in this environment. I suspect that the big fireworks in the currency markets are over, and that we will see more ranging activity overall. That's what I will be looking for. So, try to do a quick wrap on that. I think stock markets are reasonable value in here generally. I prefer the fuller money themes and high yielders, provided those yields are covered. In other words, provided the companies can go on paying them. And the long-dated government bonds, they're still in form, but this to me is a risky sector in terms of the long-term outlook. Commodities, steady generally. Gold has improved here quite a bit this week. It is beginning to reflect the dollar weakness. And people know that it's worked its way through most, although not all, of that seasonal period of weakness. Enter September, and gold is back into a period of seasonal firmness. And it hasn't given up much ground overall relative to every other commodity that experienced a shakeout earlier this year. So that's the picture, pretty much as I see it here on the 6th of August. Let's have a great weekend, and I look forward to seeing what Monday brings. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.